Our text for today's message is our epistle reading for today from 2 Timothy chapter 2. I would invite you to open your Bibles to that chapter of Scripture, and if you are using the Pew Bible, you would find that on page 995, and let us join in a word of prayer. Dear God, our Father, we are thankful that we can come to your house this day to hear your word, and may your word give us hope and inspire us to live for you in joy and holiness. In the name of Jesus, amen. So God, through Paul, speaks some really powerful words in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. And so Timothy was standing at the beginning of his ministry, and Paul was approaching the end of his. The time was coming for Paul to die, according to church tradition, a martyr's death. And so no doubt Paul was remembering all that he suffered for the sake of the gospel. He probably recalled how he left his position of prominence in the Jewish faith to become a reviled Christian. He probably recalled the times he was thrown out of cities, the times that he was stoned, the times he was imprisoned, and the time that he was shipwrecked. And so at this writing, Paul was now in house arrest, and awaiting the time that he would die for the faith. And so he leaves these words with Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ. What sound words they are. Timothy would also face challenges. Paul sent him to stem the tide of evil living and a false teaching in the city of Ephesus, and that, no doubt, was not an easy job. According to church tradition, Timothy eventually died a martyr's death also as he was protesting a licentious worship parade for the Roman goddess Diana. But the words of Paul are also for us today. Remember Jesus Christ. Because we're going to face all sorts of challenges in this life as well. And I can make you this promise. It's not always going to be easy. But remembering Jesus Christ, we are given the strength to continue. Because when things get tough, God's going to be there. We see this in verse 3, that in those times of suffering, this is what Paul said to Timothy in verse 3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So yeah, there's going to be suffering. Why? Well, it's not God's fault, because it was never God's plan that we should go through suffering. His plan was that we would live with Him in bliss forever. But the fall of Adam and Eve into sin ruined all that, and now we cannot blame God for our troubles. Paul issues this command, really, to Timothy, share as suffering as a good soldier. And that's not speaking neither of the suffering brought by our own sin. Our sin brings consequences. You know, when we do something bad, normally there's a bad consequence to that. And parents spend a lot of time trying to teach their children that that's going to be the case in this world. But however, it's also true that sometimes we do the right thing, and we suffer for it also. So Paul told Timothy about this suffering as a soldier of Jesus Christ. In verse 9, Paul was saying that he preached the gospel for which I am suffering bound with chains as a criminal. And so in this book of 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy that he had faced the jaws of a lion. Paul preached the good news to the world, and sometimes he was stoned for it because the sinfulness of people simply would not tolerate the teachings of the Word of God. And you know, sometimes we know that we're going to suffer for doing the right thing also. Later in this, chapter 3, verse 12 of this book, Paul says, yes, all who desire to lead a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so, ironically, Paul was saying that sometimes we suffer for doing the right thing. That in Paul's case, he brought the good news to a suffering and sin-filled world, and people didn't like it. So we're sometimes, when we do that, labeled as fanatic, or pushy, or maybe even worse, someone may call us the R word, that we're religious. And when we tell our friends and our family about the great gospel of Christ that we can have eternal salvation, sometimes we receive scorn instead of gratitude. We can't expect to be persecuted for living the faith even in our day. But God, through Paul, is telling us that there will be suffering as good soldiers, but it certainly has a purpose. There's a purpose behind all of that. In verse 10, it says, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul was simply saying all this suffering is worth it so that others, the elect, those who haven't heard about it yet, can receive this salvation that God intends for them. This is so that the good news can go out to others through us. So then in this text, Paul gives us three examples of what it's like to live out this faith. In verse 4, it says, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. His aim is to please the one who enlisted him." And so being a soldier of Jesus Christ requires focus. The idea is that a soldier here is not to be distracted by anything else, but his job is to please his commanding officer, the general who enlisted him, so that he would not lose the battle. Then the second example is an athlete. Verse 5. "An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. An athlete must compete with integrity. He must follow all of the rules." And the word here in the Greek for rules here is really the laws of competition. And we certainly know that in the sports games that we have today, there's probably books of rules for the major sports that we have, because there are so many regulations that must be followed, and if you don't follow them, then you'll be disqualified. You won't win. Winners never cheat, and cheaters never win. Then there's the third example in verse 6. "It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops." So a farmer must be hardworking. There are a lot of steps involved in raising a crop. You have to prepare the soil. You have to remove all the impurities from it. You need to put the seeds into the ground. And then after the seeds have sprouted, you need to remove the weeds. You need to protect the crop so that it is not eaten by insect or by other grazing animals. And then finally, if all goes really well, after all that hard work, then you need to harvest the crop and bring it into the barn at the end. So all this might seem kind of, you know, overwhelming. This, all the suffering and all these things that we go through for Christ. But verse 8 reminds us of our hope. "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." Jesus is saying, "Remember me." How do we remember Jesus? It means more than just recalling. It means recalling in faith. We remember all that God has done for us. We remember how His mighty outstretched arm has won victory for us. And the text really is giving us very solid formula of what we are to do to remember Jesus Christ. And so when the toils of this life drag us down, we remember Jesus Christ. In particular, we remember that He is the offspring of David. And so what does this mean? It means that Jesus is that descendant of David, the promised one, the Messiah, who came and suffered in order that He might restore our relationship to God. And so this Jesus in the flesh is the one who intercedes for us. That Jesus, since He took upon our human flesh, understands us as a fellow human being. He lived like us. He was tempted like us. He died like us. And so this understanding Jesus, who is descended from David, is now at the right hand of the Father, and He is interceding for us. He's the Savior from all of our sorrows. And you know, friends, when Jesus sees all of the suffering in this world since the fall, His heart is moved to love us with an all-in love. And you know, so whatever sadness or frustration or pain that we feel in our half-dead and calloused hearts, Jesus feels all the more. Whatever sadness we might feel is just a shadow of the soul-wrenching pain that Jesus feels when he sees his loved ones suffering. That his perfect divine love for us in his heart makes him grieved at the littlest pain that we go through. Friends, yes, Jesus cares for you that much. That is who he is. Christ is love. And he demonstrated that love for us in what he has done for us. He became a man, and he died on the cross. And this really was the point of everything, that Jesus, as that descendant of David, would come down to earth, and that him on the cross would be the central focus of the church, because on the cross, Jesus took our place. He was our substitute. He took the penalty for our sins. This is the good news of salvation. And it is only the message of the cross that can bring an end to the suffering of this world. And it is only the message of the cross that Christ died to give us forgiveness and eternal life at no cost, which can raise our hearts back to joy. Remember Jesus Christ, a descendant of David, but also risen from the dead. We don't have a dead Savior. We have a living one. We don't have a dead God, but we have one who lives and reigns over all of the earth. Yes, Jesus was that man descended from David, but now he is also risen from the dead. His humanity reminds us of his great compassion and understanding for us. But his resurrection proves that he has the power to help us in every need. Remember Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. What more could we ever ask? That this God who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And so we remember Jesus Christ. And that is the refrain for our entire lives. That when we wake up in the morning, we give thanks to God that we have a new, fresh day freed from sin, a day in which we may serve our God. And when we eat our food, we give him thanks not only for our food, but every provision that God makes for us in this earthly life of good neighbors, good family, good friends, good weather, good government, and the list can go on and on. And when we face those really big problems of life and death, we remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead because his victory in the resurrection, and that victory alone gives us hope because he has now risen and he has gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. And so when we are hurt and when we are alone and we think that no one cares, we remember Jesus Christ. And when Jesus is on our lips and in our hearts, the doubts and the accusations of the devil cannot hurt us. And so Paul writes to Timothy at the end of our text some words that were thought to be an early hymn within the church. Whether it is or not, it's not entirely clear, but they are certainly words that the Holy Spirit endorsed. Verse 11 says, "The saying is trustworthy. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." These words are hope for us. The original language makes it clear that these are not conditions for us to fulfill, but rather statements of fact. That yes, we have died with Jesus Christ in our baptisms, and therefore we live with him. And as we are enduring persecution of our Christian faith in this world, we will someday reign in heaven with Jesus forever. And if someday we should disown Jesus, deny him, or be faithless, he remains faithful. And Jesus stands by his word and he calls us back into repentance and he says, "Remember me." Jesus says, "I offer you eternal life. No need to buy it. I give it to you. Return to me and I will never cast you out." So, dear friends, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, the offspring of David. This is your gospel. In the name of Jesus, amen.